Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel. And the 16th chapter. Tonight we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13, at least the first half of verse 13, providing we get that far. But let's read those verses now. God reminding Jerusalem, we're telling Ezekiel to remind Jerusalem, Israel, of what he did for them. He said, I clothed thee also with embroidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. As we said, continuing on to look at what God had done for Israel, reminding them of their nativity and of their birth, and how deplorable and despicable that was, and how that when she was born, the umbilical cord was not cut, she wasn't washed, wasn't wrapped in soft, cuddling clothes, but was cast out in the wilderness to die. She was as good as dead. But there was love. There was the time of love. God saw her. God loved her. And God began to spare her, to save her. He brought her forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He spread his skirt over her and entered into a covenant relationship with her, a covenant of marriage. She became his. And tonight we look at the fact and thought of he lavished her with gifts. And this didn't just didn't happen on her wedding day, but it continued throughout her years. He lavished her with gifts. First of all, in these verses, we see that he beautified and adorned her. Her wardrobe was well furnished with rich apparel and goodly ornaments, jewels, gold and silver. verse 10, he said, I clothe thee with also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. They had embroidered work. Embroidered work, variegated, various colors in that embroidered work to wear. Weren't gaudy colors, they were beautiful. The thought is there. Shoes. Shoes made of leather. He said that they were shod with badger skins, same covering that covered the tabernacle. It was the skin, the leather of a badger. The badger, a beautiful animal. I've been a hunter years ago. I never saw one in the wild face to face. I've seen pictures of badgers, and they can be kind of mean, kind of vicious, but they're a pretty animal. Their skin, their coat is pretty to look at. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus in chapter 26. Look with me here, verse 14, where it talks about the covering for the tabernacle. Yeah, I've got the wrong verse here. Verse 14, I'm on verse 16. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above. In other words, over the ram skins dyed red, over that was to be the badger's skins. It must be that these badger skins were, the leather from them was a very durable leather, probably the most durable known in that region at that time, at least. Maybe even today, you don't see it being used much that I know of, but it was a very durable leather, and therefore a covering for the tabernacle, and a covering which would have been not only durable, but would have been pretty, beautiful to look at. So these shoes which they made were, I didn't write that verse down, but also in Exodus, were made of ram skins dyed red, and then the badger skin outside of the shoes as well. So he gave them, fitted them with very beautiful shoes, very expensive shoes. I can imagine these shoes would be very expensive to buy if you had to purchase them. But God provided them for them. Fine linen girdles. They were girt about with fine linen. Fine linen girdles. In the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus, we see that this was garb that the priest was to put on. In Exodus chapter 28 and verse 8, and the curious girdle of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. This is fine twined linen. Mike was talking about the twining of thread, and this has got the twining here. This was fine. This was pure linen, twined for the girdle of the priest. In the girdle that he said to have put about Israel was of fine linen, of a pure linen. It was of good quality. It was of rich quality. It was of expensive quality that he gave to them. I want you to turn with me in comparison to a thought that we'll probably be getting to in a few weeks in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6. But consider that linen and the quality of it, the richness of it, the pureness of it. And look with me at verse 14 of this 6th chapter. Telling the Ephesian church, our church today, saved folks, it's all that are in our churches, saved folks, telling them to put on the armament of God. In verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, what is truth? Being girded with truth. Well, what does fine linen picture? Fine linen, pure linen, clean, white, pure, rich, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? The Word. Capital W-O-R-D. The Word. Who's the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We must have our loins grown out with the Word, with the truth of God's Word. And so that takes study, that takes attendance to the preaching of the Word and obedience to God's Word. A readiness to be obedient to God's Word. Making haste to be obedient to God's Word. Now, when we see it in the Word of God, when we see it as the Word of God, we don't delay. We don't dally around. We don't make excuses why we shouldn't do it, or we do it because it is the Word of God, and we see it to be the Word of God. So Israel was girt about with fine linen girdles and concealed with silk. She was concealed with silk. This has reference to a headdress or a veil. I think probably more fitting is that it was a headdress, silk that was wound around the top of the head in like a turban type deal that she was covered with. Silk, again, a very expensive material. It wasn't cheap. God didn't spare anything for his wife, but he lavished the finest, richest, the best quality upon her. Read with me in the book of Deuteronomy concerning this which he clothed her with. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 29. In verse 5, we read something of great interest. "And I have led you 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old. upon you, and thy shoe is not much an old upon thy foot. The thought is their clothes did not wear out, didn't even grow old, didn't become faded and weathered and tattered. Their shoes didn't grow old either. I mean, you put 40 years of walking in the same shoes. Now, I know that would aggravate you women, because you got a closet full of shoes. Can you imagine wearing the same pair of shoes for 40 years? I can't even imagine wearing the same pair of shoes for 40 years. I can't imagine the same suit of clothes for 40 years. But I'll tell you what, the thought and the idea was, they were in the wilderness. They didn't have a Kmart. Oh, that's gone. By the way, they didn't have a Walmart to run to. They didn't have a JCPenney. They didn't have a Macy's to run to buy a new suit of clothes. God took care of them. How did he take care of them? Their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have a need of another set of clothes. They didn't have a need of another set of shoes. They had what they needed. I ask you today, do we have the same God that they had? If God was able then, is he not able today? Trust him? Do we trust him? No, that's one of the ill side effects of prosperity. Prosperity. Americans, for many years now, have been a prosperous people. They want something, they'll go out and buy it. If it's broke, they go out and buy new. I grew up in a day and time when if it was broke, you did all you could to fix it and keep using it. I can remember some very hard times growing up. I can remember the Lord providing transportation. I remember very specifically, Mom and Dad bought a 59 Plymouth wagon. I'm talking about back in the day and time where if you got 100,000 miles on a car, that was great stuff. Now today, 100,000 miles on a car is nothing. I mean, they run 200, 300,000 miles, some cars, if you keep them long enough, but somebody's driving them. They make them good. But I remember that car, 125, 130,000 miles on it, when Dad said, it's time to get a new car. And they began looking for a new car. And they stopped in at this dealer that Dad knew the fella and liked to deal with, and there was a 63. I think it was a Dodge wagon. And they dickered a little bit, and Dad drove it, and Mom, they liked it. They felt like it was the car that the Lord would have them to have. They told the salesman their price. Can't do that, can't do that. Dad said, okay, walked out. He had to drive by that dealership every day on his way to work and on his way home from work. And a month later, that car still sat on the lot. So he said, I'll stop, let's go look. Maybe the Lord does have it for us. And they came to terms on Dad's price. They wanted to get rid of the car. They came to terms on Dad's price. That car ended up with 187,000 miles on it. That was in a time when that was unheard of, remember. But the Lord used those two vehicles to get Mom and Dad through some hard times and get their feet back on better ground, more stable ground. Yes. We have the same God as Israel. And what he did for Israel, he's able to do for us if we'll trust him. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't stew over. God is able. And God will provide, just as he did these 40 years in the wilderness. And their clothes did not grow old, and their shoes did not grow old either. In verse 11, he said he adorned them with bracelets and necklaces. He said, I deck thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. Verse 12, he said, I put a jewel on thy forehead. This, as near as I can tell in researching this, this was not necessarily a jewel like we see people from India. Women from India would have a jewel in the center of their forehead there. This was more like a nose ring that they put of ornament type in their nose, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head, a ring in her nose and earrings in their ears, a beautiful crown. Now, these may have reference to the jewels, other riches which they got from where? They got from Egypt. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 3. And look with me here at verse 21. And I wanted to go here first to show you that it's the Lord that did it. He said in verse 21, he said, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. God said, you're going to go, you're going to leave Egypt, but you're not going to go empty. You're not going to go empty-handed. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Look with me at the 12th chapter. In the 12th chapter, they're getting ready to go now. In the 12th chapter, we've had the Passover, the death angel Passover, Israel, but the firstborn of Egypt was slain. In the 12th chapter, and look with me at verse 35. Verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Just think about that. You're an Israelite, and you go up to the Egyptian and say, I want to borrow of your gold trinkets and your silver trinkets and of your raiment. Could you give to me? We're going to go out here into the wilderness, and we're going to worship our God. And the death angel had already passed over. The firstborn of all the land of Egypt had died. And the Egyptians are saying, yes, 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 we want you gone. We want you out of here. We're going to see you again. Go, go. They were more than ready and willing. The Lord gave them favor. But the Lord gave them favor. You see, it was the work, the handwork of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in 105th chapter. In this 105th chapter of the book of Psalms, and I toyed with reading from at least verse 10 through the end of the chapter, but we're not going to take the time tonight, but it would be good for you to read it because this mirrors exactly what we have in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. He's rehearsing here in Psalms 105, and from verse 10 on, he's rehearsing what God did for them, just what God had done. Their beginnings from Abraham, through Jacob, through him sending a famine and sending Joseph down before his brethren into Egypt, finding favor with the king in Egypt, and Jacob going down into Egypt with his sons. And God bringing them up out of Egypt. While they're in Egypt, this Psalms tells us that he grew them. They multiplied greatly. And then he brings them up out of Egypt. He says, he covered them with a cloud. And as I read that, I thought of him covering them with his skirt. He's covering them with a cloud by day and the fire by night. But he brought them out forth. Look with me at what we read in verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. He brought them forth with silver and gold. He gave them favor with the Egyptians so that the Egyptians just pounded on them. All that they could take, all that they could handle, they carried out of Egypt with them. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one person among their tribes. There was not one person among their tribes that lacked for silver and gold and raiment to put on. They all had that which the Lord God required of them. The laws and the ordinances which God gave them were to them as ornaments. They were to them as ornaments of grace to the head and chains about the neck. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 1. And look with me here at begin reading with 7. The fear of the Lord. Note that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Hear the instruction concerning the fear of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the paths of the Lord, the walking in the Lord's ways. Hear the instruction of your father concerning ways of the Lord, and forsake not the law of thy mother. That law, the law of the Lord, the law of God, which your mother is teaching you and instructing you and placing upon you, demanding that you obey. for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. They shall be ornaments of favor. Oh, to have the favor of God upon us. Yes, yes. Israel was to learn the ways of God. They were to learn the commandments of God. They were to keep them in their heart. They were to put them upon their forehead. They were to put them up on their doorposts. It was to be a part of their life. They were to talk of them when they rose up in the morning. They were to talk of them when they went to bed at night. They were to talk of them through the day. Because they would give... They would be walking in the favor of the Lord. And they would be adorned with chains of gold and silver. God's sanctuary is mentioned there in verse 12. God's sanctuary, which he set up among them, was a beautiful crown, that crown upon their head. He said he placed the crown upon their head, and God's sanctuary was this crown that was set among them, was a beautiful crown upon their head. It was the beauty of holiness. Turn with me to the book of Psalms again. Psalms in chapter 48. And look at verse 2 here. Beautiful for situation. That's where she was set. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Mount Zion is beautiful. Where she sits is beautiful. Mount Zion is just another word for Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, especially in the prophetic chapters. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. She's the city of the great king. She's beautiful. God has adorned her that way. Turn with me to the 50th chapter. And also verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Nothing lacking. I mean, she greater and more beautiful than any other of the cities of Jacob. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. God doth shine. Turn with me to the 87th chapter of the book of Psalms. The 87th chapter. And look with me here at verses 2 and 3. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, more than all the dwellings of Jacob, more than all the other cities and dwelling places of the children of Israel. Mount Zion is it. Jerusalem is it. The Lord loves it more than, not that he doesn't love the other cities, the other dwelling places of Jacob, of Israel. But Mount Zion, Jerusalem, he loves more. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Glorious things. It's the city of God. It's the city to be. It was to be the city of righteousness. It was to be the city of holiness. It was one of God's choosing, one of God's making, one of God's adorning. And she was the beauty of holiness. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 20. Where we read, as for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. What beauty is that? Mount Zion, Jerusalem, Israel. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the image of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them. As for the beauty of his ornament, Mount Zion, Mount Jerusalem, what was there at Jerusalem that so adorned her that way? The house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the most holy place, the dwelling place of God. And Israel was assured that God was seated there between the cherubims upon the mercy seat in the holy place. So God adorned her with beauty. He lavished her with many of great gifts. Back to the 16th chapter, book of Ezekiel. In the first half of verse 13, we read this. Thus was decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. She was decked, adorned with the richest apparel. She was adorned with gold and with silver. God spared nothing upon his wife. This was God's wife. This is her adornment. Turn with me back in comparison to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation in chapter 19. You see, there in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 13, we see the adornment of God's wife. Here in Revelation chapter 19, we see the adornment of the wife of the Son of God. Verse 8, and to her, to his wife, to his bride, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Yes? The Lamb's wife, the Son of God's wife, is going to be adorned in rich apparel. Oh, you can't get any richer apparel than the righteousness of God, which his wife, his bride, has adorned herself with in his making. Praise God. Well, who's there tonight?